Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court podcast host Cortez Paul, along with my co-host Kevin Carter. I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. You can go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those, and definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Balls Not Court podcast. Cortez Paul is here. Mr. Paul Mack in the City Beautiful. Mr. Mack, how you doing this evening, sir?
I'm good, man. The Christmas is in the air. It's a little chilly out. Can't complain. Nice brisk, like 50-something degrees outside. Feels like Christmas is right around the corner.
Yeah, you know, we enjoy that Florida Christmas. We don't get to see snow, but it's, you know, it's a little chilly out and look cool. And I got a TV streaming with Ja Morant and his return back to the NBA, and him and Zion Williamson play. That's an interesting dynamic. Get those two his first game back. You know, there's a lot of storylines between those two, but nonetheless, it's going good over here, man. You know,
good for Ja. Good for Ja.
Yeah, you know,
Memphis needs him.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do with him, Paul, to see if they're going to decide to make a playoff run at least for the play-in, or they just can be like, you know what, we got a lot of young talent, just add a core piece with a lottery pick and see what they can do. They're at a unfortunate crossroad that they have to make that decision, but good to see Ja back. Listen, all the stuff that happened to him off the court, it is what it is, but he is an electrifying player. Got to get his legs on him, so.
Just keep him off Instagram. He'll be all right.
Basically, so. But, yeah, as you mentioned, dude, it's cold outside, look cool out, man. I went to the gym and did a leg workout. I'm still feeling it, man, going upstairs. It's a bit of a
struggle going upstairs. Don't get used to it. It's going to be like 75 on Christmas, so we'll be right back to where we need to be in a couple of days. So just enjoy it while we got it.
Perfect. I'm glad you mentioned that because I have a yearly football game that I do the Center Bowl on. I didn't see the weather, so you just helped me out, pal. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's going to be nice. It'd be a perfect day. It should be a perfect weather for a Santa Bowl.
Perfect, man. So I am on the fence because, as I mentioned to Paul off air, my boss is vacationing in Hawaii. So now I'm the head honcho in charge by default. So I got to open up the building, close the building, and I set up the event. But I told the guys I may be questionable. They told me to call out. I said, guys, it doesn't work like that. Unless y'all want to go ahead and do a GoFundMe and send me money for my bills, please, let's go ahead and do that. But I can't call out just over a yearly football game. Sorry, guys.
No, we don't call out.
Yeah, exactly. So
you don't get paid. You don't get paid to play in the Santa Bowl.
Yeah, no. And that's why I try telling some of these guys that, hey, I don't have hourly jobs like you, but, you know, and you guys have spouses that can help you. I don't have a significant other to help pay the bills, so – It's El Solo Ladon over here, bro.
Hey, it's all good.
I can find that one, but it's all good, man. So happy Tuesday to everybody that's listening to the Balls Not Court podcast. Glad to have Paul back here. We're going to get into week 15, NFL week 10. Listen, we got 3 weeks left to the season. It's just been a crazy week. We always say this, that football, and that's a good thing about NFL football, is just parodies all over the place.
Let's hop into Thursday Night Blues, man. The Raiders defeat the Chargers 63-21. Let me repeat that because that is true. 63-21. The following day, as the crown day was always remembered, like, oh, Staley's not going to lose his job. What happened? The head coach, Brandon Staley, and the GM, Tom Telesco, were dismissed or fired from their jobs. Paul, I want to ask you first, man. How did this happen, and how did we get here with Brandon Staley and this beautiful mess that you have as the Los Angeles Chargers? Let me hear your thoughts on this, sir.
It's because the Chargers stink, dude. That's what it is. Brandon Staley, I'm honestly surprised he made it this far. I mean, they made it to the playoffs, I think, last year. Justin Herbert's kind of always getting hurt. Hate to see it, but I mean, they've just been an underperforming team for a really long time. Doesn't matter if they're in San Diego, doesn't matter if they're in Los Angeles, doesn't matter if they're on the moon, doesn't matter where they play football. The Chargers are the Chargers for whatever reason. And I think it's crazy that it takes a complete ass whooping by the Las Vegas Raiders to make you realize that you should probably fire your head coach. But I mean, they were down their starting quarterback. You know, Austin Eckler didn't do a whole lot either. So when you look at their big guys, nothing really happened. I mean, Josh Palmer showed up, but I'm sure a lot of that was in garbage time. You know, the Raiders defense lights out, man. So, like, kudos to the Raiders. Kudos to Max Crosby and those guys. But it's been a season of backup quarterbacks. Backup quarterbacks have been kind of taking the league by storm this year. And Aiden O'Connell, I know he had a huge game against the Giants when he played against us, you know, three, four weeks ago, whatever it was. But he showed up. You know, 248 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks. Yeah. Not bad. But, hey, it's only the second worst loss of the season. So, you know,
yeah,
63 points is a lot of points to give up.
Yeah, that first loss shouldn't go mentioned about what happened because there's a certain fan on the show for a certain team that's got the first worst loss. But, no, it's – so Staley finished his Chargers coaching tenure 24-25, as Paul mentioned, the one playoff tenure against the Jags where they was up big and they blew the lead against the Jaguars and end up going down eventually to them. Now, what I have read and kind of did my research on this of Mr. Staley's firing is, and I think we saw this in his press conferences, that basically Daniel Popper, The Athletic, saying that it was his overconfidence that was on display and kind of really dug his grave. Of course, we remember the back and forth with the beat writers. Staley reiterated that he had full confidence in himself, being a defensive play caller. Chargers, up to this point, has given up the most passing yards in the league through 11 weeks. They're third worst in first downs given up. And they're a bottom 10 team in allowing rush touchdowns. So there's a lot of change. Listen, there is talent on this team, but it's just they seem to tune out Mr. Staley. I don't know if coaches just feel a certain way. And I feel like this is one of the guys that he really is a smart guy, but he really believes in his abilities that much that whatever you tell him, he's kind of spoiled, it seems like, in a sense. Like the way he was giving answers to some of these beat reporters was very defensive. Listen, I know the Chargers play in my division. They do have a lot of talent. They really do. They go from Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen, Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, Derwin James, Pooh Bear, who is from Polk County, and play his high school ball over here in the county. So, like, they have a lot of talent on this team, but it just the coaching just really tuned them out. Now, Griff Smith is going to be the interim that's stepping in. Little background on him, he was the interim. He's going to be interim coach. He was an offensive linebacker coach for the past 2 years. 12 years of coaching experience in the NFL. His coaching tree, he coached at Georgia Southern, Tulane. Then his pro experience, he with the Titans and now the Chargers. So, obviously, I think with this team, they have a lot of talent that if Griff make an impression in 3 weeks, that's kind of hard to do. They're already at the playoffs. They don't have a chance to clinch a playoff berth. Justin Herbert is out with an injury for the rest of the season. So, this is a team in disarray. So can you make a case for this job being open right now for a coach that is looking on the outside end of this disarray and this franchise that's got a lot of noise right now? What is there any positives that a coach should look to try to take this job, Paul?
I mean, there's a lot of candidates, right? I just hope they don't give it to somebody who has been a head coach before. I know there's a lot of people, you know, in the league who are still waiting for their first shot at to be a head coach. You know, you have the Eric Bieniemies of the world. You have all these people, but I don't know, man. I don't know if I necessarily want to go coach the Chargers. I think the funniest part about the whole thing is Staley basically came out and said the same thing I think everyone has said when they got fired in the history of jobs, is just, I wish I had another chance to show that I can do my job better. It's like, no, man, everyone says that. You're supposed to say that. What are you going to do? Like I said, yeah. They were 24 and 25. Real mediocre, you know, middle of the line team. They could win some big games, but they also lose some silly games, and it's just one of those teams, man. Like they have, like you said, they have the Keenan Allen, Austin Eckler, Justin Herbert. Honestly, I think a healthy Justin Herbert makes that team probably more appealing than it should be, because I think a lot of coaches would want to work with Justin Herbert. I know coming into the league, going through the draft, he was, you know, highly scouted, and everybody says he has all the tools and he could be a really, really great quarterback in this league. Yeah. So I'd love to see an offensive minded coach probably go work with Justin Herbert. But you know, they're the Chargers.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
I will say this. The talent on this team is attractive for a coach to come here. They share a new stadium with the Rams and a big market, Los Angeles. So, you know, the location does help you if you do start turning around the franchise and do winning and start winning, that you can attract some talent to LA. They're also playing in a pretty much in a division that Pat Mahomes is the cream of the crop. Russell Wilson's older, and they had Jimmy Garoppolo for the Raiders, and then now they went to A.M. O'Connell. He's a backup who's been playing for the year because of injuries. So even that, like, you go around and you can get Justin Herbert right and get some pieces around. I didn't really miss Austin. I know he had contract disputes. I don't know what his future is going to be with the Chargers. But I do think it is an attractive job for a lot of coaches to be like, good market. The stadium is really nice. The division, we can at least be a wild card for the bit if Denver's trying to figure it out, the Raiders trying to figure it out. Pat Mahomes, I know he's been having issues with his skills group. Maybe I will consider going to the Chargers in L.A., and it's a market that I can probably grab. So I just think it's not bad in the grand scheme of things, Paul. If you want to be offense coordinator on the come up, why not be in LA? Good weather year round.
I mean, they got the assets for sure. I mean, they got, you know, depending on what you do with Austin Eckler, you know, you got Bosa on defense. You got pretty good guys on defense, which is crazy that their defense is ranked so bad. Mm-hmm. But you know, a lot of pieces there, a lot of guys that you can do something with, and it'll just be really interesting to see, like, because again, like rumors have that, you know, Bill Belichick might be out of New England.
Ooh, I did hear that rumor. Yep. I heard that rumor.
Does Bill Belichick think to himself, hey, I can go be the coach and GM of the Los Angeles Chargers and work with a Justin Herbert and kind of put a team around Justin Herbert like he did in New England, where he's a good enough scout of talent to where he doesn't have to necessarily bring big name guys over there? He can kind of pick and choose who he wants, and his system, he can kind of make anyone kind of shine the way he did with Tom Brady. So it's interesting. But you know, it could also be a nice opportunity for a first time coach. So it'd be really interesting to see what they do, how the interim coach finishes the season out. But you know, Kansas City's kind of slowing down a little bit, so there's room to catch up to them. And it's a 1A obviously with Kansas City, but you could have, you know, the Chargers and Denver being that 1B, kind of fighting for that, you know, that second position in the division to eventually, hopefully, you know, knock out Kansas City. But, you know, with Russell getting older, It's interesting. It's an interesting job. Like, the more you broke it down, a lot of positives to go to the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, I just think they really just quit on Staley. It's unfortunate. I think they're. That's why I say we both looked at this team before the season, and I mean, I wouldn't project them to be 5-9 right now with all the time they had. Like, Khalil Mack has 15 sacks on the season, for what I can remember. I know I did my research. I thought I saw 15 sacks. So, like, there is talent there. And for them to underachieve, would listen, for me, I'm so glad that the Chargers underachieved. They're in my division. So, like, hey, they can, as you said before the whole segment, the Chargers stink. So, like, hey, let's keep it that way. But I'm being real here, looking from outside in, like, this team shouldn't be as bad as they should have been. And to get embarrassed like this against a team that's pretty much on your level, mm-hmm. The Raiders is not that much better than the Chargers. I'm sorry. They're just not that much better than
them. And Josh Jacobs didn't even play.
Right. So that's, I'm just like, 63-21? Like, it's just unslainable. I just feel like overdue to Staley's. The locker room is buying out on what he was saying. The message went out one ear and out the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's natural, man. It's one of those that, you know, the coach does so much. It's just one ear out the other. And this happened with, it's funny. We just had this with the Raiders, with Josh McDaniels. Mesh was going out one ear out of the other. Antonio Pierce comes in, and what, they won 2 out of 4 last games. I don't know if Antonio Pierce is going to get a job. I think he's on interim status. They might. No, you know what? I think they did offer him the coaching job. He's the coach. But, you know, this guy, Griff Smith, he's got opportunity to get a job, or someone can see what they have, how they close the season, and it go a long way. The Chargers play my Broncos here. And can play, you know, spoiler alert to my Broncos by, you know, spoiling their wild card hopes. So we'll see, man. We'll see. It's interesting with the Chargers for me.
Yeah, because I said even on defense, like you mentioned, all the people on offense and what you could do offensively, but to have a Khalil Mack, to have a Bosa, to have a Derwin James, to have, you know, Asante Samuel Jr. Like, there's a lot of guys. That's 5 guys out of the 11 on defense.
Yeah,
that are
they're
pretty
solid,
good.
They're solid, dude. I can't explain the 5-9 record with them.
To have a defensive minded coach, who, you know, you're giving up the most passing yards in the league, and you're terrible and on first down and all the other things you mentioned off it. It's definitely a disconnect. I think they were just kind of, they weren't bought in anymore, and I think that's always the big thing. And you're seeing a lot of it with the player coaches now, the former players who are now coaches, that they get the buy in. They get, you know, they communicate with the players much better now than some of these older coaches do.
Yeah.
And those are the ones you're seeing have the success. So it'll be interesting, but, you know, it'll be a fun offseason in Los Angeles to see who they even interview for that job and who has the opportunity to get it.
Absolutely, man. All right, let's move into, I'm sure you're going to enjoy this topic, NFC East crashing. Who had the most disappointing loss, Paul, for you? Let me rephrase this, because who had the most satisfying loss to you? The Cowboys, who lost to the Bills 31-10, or the Eagles? Man, that was a way to lose, man. I watched that game, the second half of that game last night. The Eagles lost to the Seahawks 20-17. My NFC East expert here, I'm leaning on Paul to answer this question for me. I know I said disappointed, but for you, which one was the most satisfying loss for you, sir?
I mean, it's interesting on paper, because Buffalo was favored against Dallas. Now, I didn't think it would be a 31-10 outcome. I didn't think that James Cook would run the ball all over the field. But, you know, Dallas's 4 losses this year are all on the road. They're a bad road team. They're undefeated at home. They're 3-4 on the road. So Dallas has shown that they're kind of susceptible to losses on the road. So does it surprise me? No. I mean, they were due to lose one. They've been hot the last like 4 or 5 weeks. But Buffalo is one of those teams, like, any given week they can do that. We've been waiting for it every week. Now they're sitting at 8-6. They're back in the wild card hunt. Yeah, they're still playing for something. It's interesting. But for me, the worst loss is clearly Philly. Philly's burning badly. Their defense is pretty bad right now.
Yeah.
You know, to allow Drew Lock to go down the field in under 2 minutes the way he did and throw that touchdown to give them the lead, That's heartbreaking, man. That was a heartbreaking loss. I know it's tough to go to Seattle and play, but you know, the Eagles were at full strength. The Seahawks were not. You know, Geno Smith wasn't playing, but the Eagles just are—they're having a hard time scoring points, man. They're having a hard time scoring points when the offense isn't being explosive. They're having a real problem, and then the defense just can't stop anybody. So for me, I'm looking at Philly right now. You know, luckily for them, two of their next three are against the Giants, which Who knows if the Giants can steal one or not. It'll be interesting to see. But Philly's reeling, man, and Dallas is coming for the division. So for me, if I'm Philly, you know, I'm a little concerned. I know there's been some locker room kind of talk about what's going on. But you know, Jalen Hurts throwing interceptions, and I mean, I know the one at the end of the game doesn't really matter. I know they were close to field goal range, and then he threw it down. They, you know, there's only like 7 seconds left. He just chucked it down the field, or whatever. I don't think it would have made a difference. But yeah, man, if you're the Eagles, you were riding high when you were, you know, 10-1. But now you got this, now you got less wins in December than the Carolina Panthers. So
yeah.
I'd be worried a little bit.
Nah, man, good breakdown, Paul. Like, listen, as you shout out James Cook. James Cook, that dude cooked. That man had 179 yards on 25 carries, and Buffalo won a time possession, 35 minutes compared to Dallas, 24 minutes. One penalty for the Buffalo Bills this game. They're usually top 10. They have 89 totals in penalty this year. Cowboys, on the other side, they lead the NFL in penalties with 102. So – no surprise there that they got five penalties in the game. So just consider this, though. Buffalo scored 31 points, racked up 351 yards. And Allen did this with completing 7 passes, 93 yards, and a touchdown at one point. Dallas, as you mentioned, Paul, Dallas is Jekyll and Hyde on the road, man. 7-0 at home, as you mentioned, 3-4 on the road. Dak, who we was on this podcast glamoring about, oh, you know, this guy got a case of MVP, and he's come out here and laid an egg. 24-31, 134 yards, one interception. And Cowboys, next three games, don't get easy. They're at Miami, who is still searching for that big resume win. And, hey, you know, they beat Dallas, man. That's a good win for them. You know, they're at home, and they get Cowboys, but – same for Cowboys. Cowboys got to get one. I know they got one against Philly last week, but obviously, as you mentioned, Philly's got some problems. They've been reeling, but and they finished the season versus Detroit and at Washington. Shout out to my boy Drew Lock, my former QB Warren. I know he got traded over there. Listen, I have a soft spot for Drew Lock. You know, kid was just part of a, you know, at the time we thought Russell would be better, but Russell has been competent enough for us this season. But, you know, Drew Lock was sent over there to at least compete for a starting role, and Geno Smith took over the spot. So he's been the ultimate pro. 1-1 his last two games. So Drew Lock is super easy to root for, man. I watched this kid for a few years in Denver and we really thought that, okay, well, this is the guy that if we're not going to be a contender, we'll be at least a wild card and see where I thought Drew Lock was literally going to be better than what he was for us. But just same thing that Russell experiences. We had Tim Patrick go down with a lot of injuries and stuff like that. But he started due to Geno's groin injury. Eagles like one slip away, bro. Like, honestly, they did. They owned the first two quarters of the game. And they found themselves in the tie game midway through the game. Eagles did respond with a 12 drive and a 75-yard drive that included with they had quality Jalen Hurts throws for it in that drive and then end up in a Hurts rushing touchdown. Now, the thing that kind of bothered me with this, Paul, as you mentioned about locker room issues, Hurts kind of called this out, and I got this quote here. I'm going to read it. Hurts, and I quote this after the game, he said, "I've been talking about execution all year. Be on the same page, everyone being on the same page. We didn't execute. I don't think we're at all committed enough. Just got to go turn it around. You know, it's a challenge that we have to embrace. Just got to continue to see it through. So he's calling out, you know, everybody else, but he's looking at himself in the mirror. You just mentioned Hurts had some problems, right? 12 interceptions, 8 fumbles on the season. And this was a guy that was considered an MVP candidate last year. And it starts with him. It starts with him.
I mean, aside from the 84 rushing yards he had, I mean, he was outplayed by Drew Lock.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's been struggling the last few weeks, man. So it's we know Hurts can be better than what he is. Hurts is a talent. Hurts is a fantastic young QB. This is one of those that you're now the hunted. You went to the Super Bowl and NFC Championship. Teams are now gearing up for you. I was under the impression with these wins that they had during the season, like, hey, this is mental. They're being tested. They're pulling these grinding games out. They're still winning. But the way they lost these three games are very concerning, Paul. Yes, they got the Giants twice and the Cards in between that. So they have a chance to make up ground. But they have a chance to really take the division over the Cowboys first their schedule. So what's your thoughts on being their schedule and the Cowboys' schedule for the Eagles really to take advantage? Like, because it's still ties, 10-4, both of these teams compete for NFC titles. Like, what does Philly have to do here compared to the Cowboys to go ahead and get this division? Because as you see, the Cowboys, the struggle on the road, they can go to a hot Bucks team right now who done took the somebody's got to have a division and go to Tampa, and they can screw around and lose in the first round again. And Jerry's already crying about, oh, this team, blah, blah, and it makes some irrational decisions. So what's your thoughts about this finishing schedule between these two NFC teams that represent that's got a chance to take the division?
I think where Dallas has the advantage is they do have, regardless of what Buffalo did to them last week, they do have the better defense. And I think that helps. They're clicking better offensively than Philly has been all season. So I think that's something where they just had an off game last week. I'm not going to look at the game against Buffalo and be like, oh, what's going on with Dallas? I mean, obviously, yeah, the road struggles are alarming to be 3-4 on the road where literally all your losses are road losses and you're undefeated at home. Cause you're not going to, you know, obviously if you win the division, you'll be at home. So that's great. So they're going to play to get home field advantage. Where with Philly right now, I don't think it matters where Philly's playing. They're not playing very well at home or on the road, at least for the last, you know, most of the season. They pulled out some crazy wins, but especially the last like 3 or 4 weeks, they haven't played well anywhere. So I think that's the scarier part, is Dallas is going to come out and play for the division every single week. And that game against Miami's a team who, you know, they've been susceptible against stronger opponents. So we'll see if Miami shows up or not. I know Tyreek Hill's a little banged up.
Yeah, very true.
You know, without Tyreek Hill, it makes the defense's job a little bit easier. But, you know, Philly's got to figure it out. Like we say, yeah. Jalen Hurts can't be their leading running back. He can't be their leading rusher every week.
Yeah.
And he can't throw for, you know, under 200 yards and two interceptions. Because whoever does that against, they're going to be in a hole.
Yeah. You do make a good point about Buffalo. I just think Buffalo is kind of getting hot at the right time. I think this is a team in a wild card that you don't want to face. At Miami, their defense is a little bit suspect. Detroit also, their defense is a little suspect. Washington defense is suspect. So, like, I mean, Cowboys really do have a chance to put points on the board here. It's not like none of these teams are like, you know, otherworldly on the defense side of the ball. So, and the Cowboys do have a good defense as well. So, I mean, I'm guess what I'm hearing from you. You do like their chances to kind of.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, again, Buffalo is a tough place to go play in December.
Very true.
I mean, Josh Allen didn't even have a good game, and that's his home field. I mean, there was clearly conditions there that favored the run. You know, Dallas, for whatever reason, just couldn't stop the run. Buffalo dominates time of possession. Dallas couldn't move the ball. It happens. Dallas has been hot. They've been the opposite. They've been hot the last 4 weeks, putting up big points. Dak's been throwing the ball over the yard. And I think they're a team where they know what's going on. They have a really good head coach in Mike McCarthy. I think he'll have them in a good spot. And you know, I hate to have to pick between either of them because you know it's the Eagles and the Cowboys, but you know Philly hasn't shown. I'm pretty sure after this past game, their defense might give up the most yards in the league right now. Their defense is susceptible to big plays. And when you're playing against a team like Dallas, they love the big play. They love throwing the ball deep. You know, it's interesting because they got to rally off some wins. I mean, obviously they might get a win against the Giants. They should beat Arizona. Yeah. So they can get a little momentum going now. But hearing your starting quarterback talk about, you know, commitment and things that are going on at this point of the season, it's probably not a good look. Mm-hmm. Where Dallas just, you know, they took it on the chin and they're ready for next week. They're not, you know, Buffalo's a team we all thought would be better than they were anyway.
Very true.
You know, I'm not going to judge Dallas for losing to Buffalo at Buffalo when they were the underdog. I think Philly was like almost a 5-point favorite to beat Seattle, and they went and lost by 3. So it's going to be interesting last 3 weeks, but Dallas needs the division because they get the home game. I don't think Dallas wants to get in there as a wild card.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Let's talk about another game. And then before we go and break our own team performances down, Buccaneers, man, going to Lambeau Field, a hard place to win in December. And they got a victory, 34-20. Talk about Baker Mayfield and talk about this victory for the Bucs, man. This is a team that, obviously, in that division we mentioned as the NFC South, somebody's got to have it. And the Bucs are clearly stepping up to the call and taking care of business regardless of their record. And they got a 7-7 in record right now. So let's talk about Baker Mayfield and talk about the Bucs, man. Because Baker Mayfield had one hell of a game here.
Yeah, man. Two weeks in a row for the Packers, huh? It's tough. Yeah. They were a team that was almost guaranteed to win in Lambeau in December, mm-hmm. and they were right there in a wild card hunt the last couple of weeks, and they dropped two big ones. Obviously, losing to the Giants with the whole Tommy DeVito thing that could have been a fluke, you know. But Jordan Love didn't play bad. Just the Packers' defense is awful. Their defense is real bad. I mean, Baker Mayfield went out there looking like Tom Brady. Finished the game with a perfect quarterback rating, 22 of 28, 381 yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks.
Dude was playing ball, man. He was playing ball.
I mean, it was just there all day. I mean, they were turning 8-yard slants into 20, 30-yard gains. Tampa Bay just wanted more. It looked like, I don't know, the Packers defense looks real flat. And, you know, for a team that was in that big mix of teams that was sitting at, you know, 7-6, looking at all these teams that are potentially being wild card contenders to go out and drop an egg, you know, 2 weeks in a row. That's tough. That's tough for Green Bay. But kudos to Baker. Kudos to Tampa. Like you said, someone's got to win that division. Atlanta clearly doesn't want it. So Tampa Bay. They'll take it, I guess. But, you know, good for them. It seems like every week there's a new leader in the NFC South. So we'll see how that season ends up. But,
yeah,
for now, you know, Baker, I don't know, Baker Mayfield, man.
Yeah. No, the Bucs are, in my part, are at least exceeding the expectation because I didn't have them being 700 here week 15. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, to be 7-7 and the way they won games and like, listen, like, you know, for the most part,
some of the teams they've beaten too, they've beaten some good teams.
They have. And you mentioned about Baker's perfect passer rating. He's the first QB to do that in Lambeau with a perfect passer rating, at least the opposing QB. I'm sure.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers did it once. There's only been two.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers and Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Baker Mayfield. So, as you mentioned, he had 4 touchdowns, 3 in the second half. And you know, he had a 75-yard drive that led with a pass to Mike Evans, good old reliable Mike Evans. And Tampa Bay didn't just trail for the rest of the game. Tampa, like you mentioned about the Green Bay defense, man, Tampa had 457 yards of offense. That was the most since week 17 of last year. Rashad White and Chris Godwin having big games. Nah, man, shout out to the Bucs, man. I can't even flex on them, man. I thought for sure this was going to be a team that was going to be at the bottom, looking at the Mike Williams sweepstakes. They still having issues with Mike Evans' contract, which, listen, if Mike Evans want to stay, you pay that man. If he doesn't want to stay, let that man go. But if he wants to stay, you better pay Mike Evans. That man should be a Tampa Bay lifer. I think we're all from this area that we know about Tampa Bay a little bit because we see him on the TV too many times for the local channel. We want to watch another game. So we see a lot of Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But for the most part, they if Mike Evans wants to be a lifelong Buccaneer, you get in, hand that man to the city. He got Ybor keys down there. That man will get peace where he wants. He won you a couple of Super Bowls. Like, no, you need – you. Or, no, I said a couple. He won you one. he helped with Brady. But, no, for the most part, no. Mike Evans should get paid, man. And salute to them. You know, as we mentioned, I thought the Saints were going to win the division. It's still 3 weeks left. Maybe they'll catch up. Maybe – I know the Atlanta Falcons had a really bad loss. man. So, basically – but no, shout out to the Buccaneers. I got a lot of Magic / Bucks fans that I kind of tap in with that kind of really was on high on being higher than they thought they were as they supposed to with their team. And I was like, man, y'all team is going to get like 3 wins. No, hey, they got 7 wins, man. And Baker is a big part of that. So, you know, see what happens and go from there. And yeah. All right. Let's go into our own team's performances. We both have rough weeks, Paul. I'll let you kind of break your team down first, and then we'll go into.
I mean, mine was inevitable. I mean, the Tommy DeVito phenomenon was destined to come to a screeching halt at some point. And you know, it's one of those things where the guy's agent's been on TV more than he has ever since the other day with his goofy outfits and everything else. But I would like to see him play a little more. I mean, Tommy DeVito got hurt in that game. They brought in Tyrod Taylor for a drive. But, you know, they couldn't get the ball going on the ground. Saints defense was just locking everything down. And, you know, when you have – now that you're getting tape on Tommy DeVito, I think they're going to start seeing teams really kind of slow that train down. There's no more element of surprise. Yeah, I mean, it you know, 24-6, not really much to talk about. The Giants did absolutely nothing on offense. You know, it is what it is. I don't even want to talk about it. They're back to sucking again. It happened. Oh, we suck again. It's fine. Whatever. Just beat Philly. Just beat Philly once. That's all I care about now. That's the rest of my season, is beat Philly once of the two times you play. Just play spoiler.
So what's up with Tommy DeVito? Is the injury? How serious is the injury?
He came back in. He's good. He's okay.
He came back?
Yeah, he took a little hit. Yeah, he was 20 of 34 for 177. No touchdowns, no picks. He ran for 36 yards. But, you know, they just couldn't get anything rolling. But like I said, just – you know, Darren Waller came back. So he showed up a little bit. He had 4 catches for 40 yards. So he hasn't really played the last few weeks. So that's cool to have him back. But there was nothing really there at all for them. But like I said, I look forward to just playing spoiler. Let's just beat Philly one of these two games and then see what kind of, you know, mayhem ensues in the offseason for us or into the postseason for those other teams.
All right. Well, I hear you, man. And my Broncos got smacked around pretty good. I forgot the score. I think it was 42-17. I don't want to remember it, but the Lions got us pretty good, man. You know, got a couple of messages from the family that lives in Detroit and reminded me about the score. But all I can say is, listen, man, like Detroit, when they do play and they're on their ball game, man, they're a dangerous team, man. You know, they had a slump over the last few weeks, and I was kind of hopeful, like, oh, my Broncos are going to catch them at the right time. And, well, you run into Dave Montgomery and Jahrir Gibbs. Listen, that backfield, man, is that's a young good backfield that Detroit building on, man. It's a good core that they have. They combined for 185 yards, and Gibbs had a rushing score from a 28-yard touchdown. Matter of fact, man, Gibbs killed us with a 9.1 yards per carry average.
That boy's so good.
Everybody that questioned the draft for them driving the running back in the first round, y'all foolish, man.
They knew what they were doing.
Yeah. Russell Wilson had a fumble in the red zone. Kind of set a tone for the Broncos tonight. You know, I was super psyched. I was Saturday. I can actually probably watch the game a little bit instead of listening on the radio. So I kind of watched this game a little bit. I had a brief moment while dealing the whole work stuff. But Broncos rebound with scores on their third quarter drives. But then for the most part, Detroit just took over, bro. Detroit took over. Goff had – we didn't pressure Goff on 72% of his drops without pressure. We didn't put pressure on him. And so while he had time to dissect our defense, that's been really good, man. Our defense has been, over the last eight games before Saturday, six of them have been wins. We had held teams to 16 points per contest. We gave up 42. So, it hurts our wild card chances. You know, now you got to play the odds and hope for other teams to lose and stuff like that. They're 7-7. This is better than what I thought they would be. I'm appreciative. They got me hyped for a little bit. It's a roller coaster with the Denver Broncos. I got excited and came back going down on the roller coaster because I know it's eventually this couldn't last. But they close the season. They can go 10-7, depending on how they play. But they do have the Patriots, the Chargers, and the Raiders that's left on their schedule. Versus the Patriots, versus the Chargers, and at the Raiders. The Raiders, for some odd reason, have play us well. So that game scares me that we win these next two games and then it hinges on us beat the Raiders. I'm just predicting my fate now, Paul. This might be a sad way of me going out on week 18, bro. I'll be like...
The way the Raiders are playing, man, it's scary for sure.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not counting them out. Listen, okay, Chargers got, they got life. Brandon Staley's gone. They may be up to play a game for a little bit, but Denver's got to weather the storm and be able to go ahead and say, hey, let's take care of business. Patriots, it's snowing in Boston. It's snowing up there in New England. They are looking towards their flights where they're going to go to the Caribbean. They're checked out.
They stink anyway. Right.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you're ready for your stink segment there for them, but we'll say that for another time. It's coming up. The Raiders, though, they scare me. They scare me shitless, dude. I don't know what to expect with them, and we're playing them in Las Vegas too.
Oh,
that's gonna be a rough one to close on week 18. If I Just check about me in a few weeks. Well, let's see how we do with the first two games. I'm not overlooking these two opponents. You're not supposed, because it's any given Sunday. The pass might come out. Zappy might have a great game against my Denver Broncos defense. So I just need to shut up and just focus on the Patriots this week and see where we go and see where all the cards fall. And let's go, Broncos. Hey, listen, still Broncos country, let's ride. We'll move to the next segment. We're going to talk about the player of the week.
Seven and seven. You're still in the thick of it, though.
We just gotta have certain calls far away, man. Like the AFC North is very competitive. I know the Steelers have been falling off recently, but that's still a competitive division. Man, listen, man, the Colts are playing good ball. The Texans been playing good ball. So like, it's a tough division, man. We in the AFC. This is what happens, man. We said at the beginning of the year, me, you, and Kev. This division going to be a gauntlet, and this is what it turned into. We still have so much parity that there is not a distinct favorite to win a Super Bowl. Even as great as the Baltimore Ravens and the 49ers have been, at one point of the season, they struggled. You can't pin a favorite. This is how wide open the NFL is this year. It's bananas, man. So let's transition. Player of the week. Paul, who's invited to the cookout? What you cooking them? Let me know. Put it on the grill. Put it on the smoker. Who's invited to the cookout, sir?
I mean, I assumed someone was picking Baker Mayfield. I didn't know who was all going to be on the show today. I assumed that was a given. So I'm going to go with a guy that a little bit of a journeyman. He's having his opportunity now, and he's making the most of that situation. And his team is now a game out of first place in his division. I'm going to go with Garner Minshew.
Ooh.
I know they played the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are struggling pretty bad right now. But my man, Garner Minshew, 18 to 28, 215 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. So, you know, their running back didn't play. Their star running back didn't play. There's no Jonathan Taylor. He must have got sick off that coleslaw you gave him the other day. But Garner Minshew is keeping the Colts alive in the playoff hunt. I mean, they were once looking at a potential wild card, and now they're a game out of the division lead with Jacksonville, and Jacksonville's kind of struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see what the Colts are doing there. But shout out Garner Minshew, because he was a guy that early on in the season we were giving him a lot of shit, and we said he sucked, and you know the Colts were going to tank because he's not that good, but he's keeping them afloat, man. You know, they went through a head coaching change in the middle of the season, and my man's out there just making the most of an opportunity and showing that he potentially should be a starting quarterback in this league. So just, you know, kudos to Garner Minshew and your jean shorts and your mustache. But he seems like the kind of guy, I already know he fucking loves coleslaw. So I'm taking that guy. I'm going to take him to like Sonny's Barbecue and just let him have some Sonny's Barbecue, because that seems like the kind of thing that Garner Minshew would fuck with. So Sonny's Barbecue, extra coleslaw, get him a pulled pork sandwich. We'll call it a day.
So funny you mentioned that. The season to go event I went to Wednesday, they served at Sonny's Barbecue. I'm like, I can remember why I haven't been to Sony's in years. Mm-hmm. Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, you ain't missing much.
Tasteless barbecue, man. Oh my god. But I'm sure Garner Minshew will love that. So nonetheless. All right. Well, listen, I know the easy choice is gonna be Baker Mayfield. I believe Baker Mayfield already had a barbecue segment here before. I think we all been critical about the Buffalo Bills running game. James Cook did the damn thing, bro. 25 carries for 179 yards. The dude averaged 7.2 yards per carry. 1 touchdown against this really good Dallas Cowboys defense. Yeah, they was at home. Weather was part of the factor. You're going to get more touches because of the weather. And you took care of business. We've been screaming for the Bills. Like, you got Josh Allen at point in time leading the team in rushing that in some games. Where's James Cook? Singletary at one time was their running back. Where's these guys at to help your quarterback when he got to do all these runs? I know Josh Allen is this physical specimen. But man, if you get this James Cook that can at least run like 85, 90 yards a game, it really make the Bills that much dynamic. And you can do this going into the postseason run. Oh, boy, that play action, that RPO for Josh Allen just become that much dangerous. So shout out to Mr. Cook. Like I said in the early podcast, James cooked. He cooked. And guess what, bro? You come to the barbecue, bro. I'm cooking for you, bro. You come in, man. I'm going to get you some I'm going to wrap the reels in four for you, bro.
Ooh.
Sweet Bay Rays, man. Let that thing simmer down in the smoker.
The opposite Sonny's.
Yeah, the opposite Sonny's. Let them things fall to the bone. And then, Paul, you've been to South for a little bit, so you know you got to have that slice of Wonder Bread, right? With the barbecue sauce on it, with the bread that you just sit on top of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You just got to. And yes, my man, you do deserve the poke and beans and the mac and cheese combo.
My man.
With some Lay's potato chips, bro. With a juicy cup. Yeah, you from the South, bro. You get that flippy cup, you win there. Shout out to my guy, James Cook, man. You had one hell of a game, sir. This play for you, man. And then I know you, let's say Cook, I'm a bet. You know what? I bet he's a Hennessy drinker too.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he like Hennessy White. He like Hennessy White. So I make sure I have that on the rocks.
Straight up. Yeah, 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 yeah.
So for sure.
But it's a 1738. He'll be all right.
Oh, absolutely. All right. So this has been a new segment. Favorite part of the show. I'm gonna let Paul take it over. Paul Stink Manor, this guy's stink segment. Mr. Matt, this week on week NFL 15 or anybody else in the NBA or anything in sports general or anything in life, who stinks this week, bro?
I don't even know if individual people stink this week, but I will tell you who stinks probably the most, and that's the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons were in first place in their division somehow, some miracle. They were sitting in first place for a whole week. They got to go to Carolina, one win on the season, had opportunities to keep that division lead alive. And then they were reminded that their quarterback is Desmond Ridder. Boy, does that guy stink. But hey, kudos to Carolina. Because now they have more wins in December than the Philadelphia Eagles. So, way to go. But it's not about that. It's about the fact that the Atlanta Falcons are now 6-8. Still only a game out of their division because the whole division is dog shit. But Tampa Bay is getting hot. But after that loss, after a 9-7 loss to the Carolina Panthers. That's how I feel about the Atlanta Falcons. They suck.
Your soundbite, sir. Your soundbite, sir, amazing, dude.
The Atlanta Falcons suck. They don't stink. And the fact that, yeah, no, they stink. And then, aside from that, we're going to go take a little trip down to, where were they? I lost who they were. But we're going to talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars for a minute.
Oh boy.
Now I know they got injuries. I know there's a lot of excuses. The whole thing about, oh, we've never been good and people need to realize that 500's good, blah 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 blah. You had a chance to play a big game against the Baltimore Ravens. You had a nice comfy division lead. Obviously, you know, you had a lot of injuries now. Injuries happen. And I'm not gonna say the Jacksonville Jaguars stink, but I'd be a little worried right now, as they are sitting at 8-6. The Indianapolis Colts sitting at 8-6. The Houston Texans are not far behind there either. So there's a lot of things still to come in that division. But if I was a Jacksonville Jaguars fan, aside from Kevin, Kevin just seems happy to be here, and he's not too worried about anything. So I think Jacksonville might have the tiebreakers in the division. I don't know, but for Jacksonville to come out and lose 23-7 against a team where, you know, there was opportunities to keep it close. Trevor Lawrence, just he makes some bad throws. You know, he had a costly fumble.
Yeah.
There's times where, you know, people have the comparisons to, why, you know, looking at him as an elite QB and why he's not mentioned in the same category as a lot of other quarterbacks. And it's the plays that he makes. Where you know you can blame the wide receivers' routes, you can blame timing, you can blame all that, but at the end of the day, he's got to make a play. He's the franchise quarterback, and to see Jacksonville come out and lay an egg at home in a big primetime game against the Baltimore Ravens,
yeah.
I'm not going to say they stink, but I'm just going to hit them with a little. I thought I would see more out of them than that, but. You know, it is what it is. The other one is just, you know, the Steelers. Watching the Steelers completely implode the way they have been these last few weeks. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Mitchell Trubisky stinks. Najee Harris ain't great. There's just a lot of things happening with that team, and the fact that they were even in contention this long is a crazy thing. I mean, I think at one point Mason Rudolph came in, which is ironic to come in this close to Christmas to bring in Rudolph as your quarterback. But he couldn't guide that sleigh if he wanted to. So the quarterbacks for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks.
With all due respect. What?
So that's it there. And then the last thing I want to touch on, and I shared this on our socials earlier today. Did you see what Rashard Mendenhall posted this morning or yesterday morning on Twitter?
I did. Don't mind my frozen screen right now, but I did.
Well, for those of you that maybe didn't see the post that he shared or don't follow Rashard Mendenhall on Twitter, which I don't know why you would. I shared that tweet, and this man said, and I quote, "I am sick of average white guys commenting on football. Y'all not even good at football. Can we please replace the Pro Bowl with an all-black versus all-white bowl so these cats can stop trying to teach me who's good at football? I'm better than your goat." Oh, brother. Listen, this man literally wants to have a Civil War bowl and have the whites against the blacks. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Sounds like a bad time. I don't know what sport he's watching, but the best running back in the league right now is a white guy.
Yeah, very true.
And when we look at career numbers, there are several white running backs who were better than Rashard Mendenhall. And, I mean, you know, make yourself.
He was okay. Yeah, he was okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You know, he had a huge fumble.
I'm being modest. He was okay.
He had a huge fumble in the Super Bowl against the Green Bay Packers that was caused by a white guy. So, you know, he was hit by Clay Matthews, had a huge fumble in the Super Bowl. So I get it. But I just look at stuff like that, and, you know, it's just.
With all due respect, what the fuck are you talking about?
You know, like he's getting a lot of activity on Twitter, and a lot of, you know, retired NFL guys are chiming in. But
this has been great, by the way, Paul. The banter's been great because everybody's not being oversensitive as we will be in 2023,
right?
Like Rashard Mendenhall trying to make a point, but people are like, this is dumb. But like, no, it's the reaction's been great. But go ahead and continue.
It's been great, but it's just funny that. You throw something like that out, and then it just kind of picks up steam, and it's all over the internet. But, you know, whatever. Rashard Mendenhall. Suck. That's all I want to say about Rashard Mendenhall. You know, while we're at it.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks.
He can kick rocks.
Which he does. He does stink. So for him to, I don't know. Like,
I mean, aside from wide receivers and DBs, the white guys might have a chance.
And it'll be a good game, bro. That's why everybody tripping. Like, yo, this actually will be a good game. And I think a lot of people, including myself, made a joke about Dave Chappelle's got to host a draft. It's got to be Richard Trout. Dave Chappelle's got to host it.
Oh, 100%.
And
but that, me that and was Kevin the whole thing about like who gets who though, like who gets the Polynesian guys, like who gets the Tuas and those guys. And
listen, we get Pat Mahomes, bro. I'm sorry, we get Pat Mahomes. Listen, the way his dad looked like, bro, I can see his dad was like, his dad straight gangster, bro. So like, we get Pat Mahomes, and like NL is cool, like, because listen. Y'all got so many great white quarterbacks, bro. So it's like, yo, like, and we got some good black quarterbacks. Don't get me wrong. We got, like, listen, we do. Lamar Jackson wouldn't be bad. Like, Jalen Hurts, I know he's been struggling. He wouldn't be bad. So, like, we're straight there. You know what I'm saying? But, like, Pat Mahomes is in that blend there. So this is where we need Dave Chappelle to come in and do the racial draft. We need Bill Burr leading the commentary. And we need Mos Def. And to come in there and execute the trades. So listen, the reception among this Mendenhall Street was great because I bet he didn't get the response that he was trying to get, which was the funny thing. This is the response that you didn't get. Like, you just missing Christian McCaffrey, dog. Bosa twins, dogs. Matt Crosby, dogs. Oh, that's what it was. Matt Crosby, Travis Kelce was acting black till he went to start dating. He's got
Taylor
a mustache.
Swift. I mean, yeah.
Taylor mm-hmm. Swift. So now we get Matt Crosby because he even smoking cigars, listening to Young G's in the locker room. So, like, Matt Crosby, maybe the honorary brother, and we trade y'all Russell Wilson, but Kevin, like, no, that ain't fair. That ain't fair.
Yeah, Max Crosby's a tough one. He's a tough one.
Yeah. Hey, you can tell that dude probably grew up somewhere in the hood, and he was like the only white boy. And I know a few of those growing up in my neighborhood, that there was that one white boy that was like, bro, he still got a sore thumb, but he just fits, bro. He just fits. That's Max Crosby, man. He just fits, man.
He's for the boys, man. I get it. But even without Max Crosby.
You know, still all deep. JJ Watt. Well, no, hold up. TJ Watt. My bad. TJ Watt, bro, like, come on, man. Like this. And Paul, we play high school sports. I played football. Man, some of the best players on our team was white, bro. So I ain't gonna even flex, man. And then y'all talk about the offensive lineman, bro. Like, y'all run. What?
And y'all run would, the game. Y'all wouldn't have run. Y'all wouldn't have a kicker. Y'all couldn't kick field goals.
We had the one black punter, but he went crazy. But he's not active anymore. But yeah, that's right. We don't have a kicker.
I think the punter. There's one black punter in the league. Harvin, I think his last name is.
Yeah,
but he's still just a punter.
Paul, you're right. We don't have a kicker, bro.
That's right. So we can just play field position with you guys all day.
That's a good point, bro. Hey, nonetheless. Paul Stink Meaner, this guy stink segment was always a success. So let's move on here and let's do our week 7 picks, man, and we'll do our top 5 teams, and then we'll do a couple more 17. We'll wrap this bad boy up. So
yeah, let's go. I got Kevin's picks right here, so we could roll it out. Going on, where are we at? Week 16. All right, we're starting things off. Looks like the Saints at the Rams Thursday night.
500 ball. Thursday game. Last Thursday game was a crap dud. This one actually might be pretty decent between Fire and Ball Club.
Two teams fighting for a wild card.
Yeah.
Shit, the Saints are fighting for the division.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go to Rams. The Rams. The Rams at in LA.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Rams also. I just think they're the better team. Kevin is going with the Rams. So Kevin's got the Rams. All right, we got two games on Saturday. The 8-6 Cincinnati Bengals at the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I mean, you already said the Steelers stink, bro. So you know what? I need Steelers to win, so I'm going to Steelers. Bengals. I need them
back. After that win against Minnesota last week, Bengals.
It's crazy.
Bengals, man. They're holding it together. They're holding it together with Jake Browning, their quarterback. I'm gonna roll with Cincinnati. I'm taking the Bengals.
Okay.
Kevin also taking the Bengals.
Gotcha.
All right. The Saturday night game. The Buffalo Bills at the Los Angeles Chargers.
Bills. Should be a clean sweep. Bills.
Yeah, Buffalo. Kev's also taking Buffalo. All right, Sunday. No need to break it down. Just Buffalo. Buffalo should win this one. If they don't, then clearly Staley was the problem. So we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sunday, Christmas Eve. The Indianapolis Colts at the Atlanta Falcons.
I need a miracle, Atlanta, but it won't happen. So the Colts will win this game, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm riding with the Colts. I like to see this little interesting thing we have going on in the AFC South. So I'm gonna take the Colts. Kevin's also riding with the Colts, and Arthur Smith's coaching for a job over there in Atlanta. So good luck, sir. Next game, we got the Packers at Panthers.
Packers, get back on the road here. They lose this game, boy, man. Whew.
Yeah. If they lose this game, there's a lot to talk about, I think. So
the odds for the Panthers on a two-game winning streak is very low.
Very low. Yeah, no. They reached their ceiling last week because they played the Falcons. Yeah. I'm gonna take Green Bay. Kev's also riding with Green Bay. Next 1 o'clock, Cleveland Browns, who just keep on winning. Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's out of this world against the Houston Texans.
So, okay, a good game. It's going to be a good game here.
I don't know if CJ Stroud's 100% healthy yet or not, so we'll see how that goes.
Wow, the Browns are 9-5, dude.
They're yeah, man. Yeah.
I got the Browns on the road.
Yeah, I'm going to ride the Joe Flacco wagon until the wheels fall off. So, yeah. I'm gonna go Browns. Kev also going Browns.
Trifecta.
Mm-hmm. A lot of sweeps this week. All right, the 10-6 Detroit, 10-4 Detroit Lions at the 7-7 Minnesota Vikings.
Lions will have a good showing, and then they come around and lose this game, wouldn't they? I'm gonna go with the Vikings on this one. Ooh. I may be wrong.
Ooh,
may be wrong.
Wow.
But I feel like it's weird, though. I feel like it's weird, the Lions. They're on the road. Their defense is suspect.
The Lions seem to play better when they have that chip on their shoulder, when they got their back against the wall. And I think whenever they're favored to win games, they kind of come out a little flat. So I know what you're saying. But they should be able to handle the Minnesota Vikings. I'm gonna take Detroit.
Okay.
Kev also taking Detroit.
Gotcha.
All right, next game we got the Washington Commanders at the New York Jets.
Wow, this game is in the gutter, huh? And then Jets are limited from playoff contention last week. There was that whole Aaron Rodgers on the show talking about he's going to finish the rehab, so I guess that was all for media attention. Jets a win.
Yeah, taking the Jets.
Yeah, I'm taking the Jets. Are I'm going go with the Commanders.
I'm going to go with the Commanders. Why the fuck not? They're both playing for absolutely nothing. Yeah, why not? I'll take the Commanders. Kevin's going to go with the Jets. All right. Seattle Seahawks riding high off that win over Philly at Tennessee Titans.
It's another one. I don't know Geno Smith's status still up in the air.
I mean, Drew Lock ain't bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Titans can get this win.
Ooh. Titans just lost to a Houston Texans second string.
Yeah.
I'm taking Seattle. They got better weapons. They're kind of clicking right now. Kenneth Walker's running the ball well. DK Metcalf, he's doing his thing. I'm going to go with Seattle. Okay. Kev is also going with Seattle.
All right.
Oh, potential big one here. 4 o'clock. Ooh. Jacksonville Jaguars at Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Ooh, Sunshine State.
Division leaders of the AFC and NFC South.
Oh, man. This is low-key going to be a good game. Man.
This game wasn't circled on the calendar 5 weeks ago.
No. Jags bounce back. They bounce back. I'm going to Jags. Baker's been hot, but I think the Jags bounce back.
Before I make my pick, Kevin is taking Tampa.
Kevin's taking Tampa. Wow, he's really out on his Jags right now, huh?
He is out on his Jags right now. But he also picked Indianapolis to win. So that would put the Colts in first place. That's something. But I'm gonna also go with Tampa. Jacksonville's defense can't seem to stop a nosebleed right now.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay is clicking on offense. So I'm gonna go Tampa. Let's see. We got the Arizona Cardinals at Chicago Bears.
Man, at one point in time, the Bears were the worst team in the league. Yeah. And now, at least compared to the Cardinals, are competent. All right, Bears go 6-9. I don't know what they're gonna do with Justin Fields in the offseason, but Bears go 6-9.
Yeah, I think Chicago's the better team, honestly.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, they lost a tough one last week, man. They had that game and they let it slip away. I'm gonna take Chicago. I still like Justin Fields. I just don't think they're handling him the right way. Mm-hmm. I think they're asking too much of him, but I like Chicago. And Kev is taking Arizona. Wow. Mm. Wow. All right. 425, Dallas Cowboys at Miami Dolphins. Fox is just game getting all these games, man. I tell you what.
Game of the week. Mm. Definitely game of the week. Set Dolphins. You know what? I think Cowboys got something to prove here. Cowboys go on the road, and they'll get one. They'll get one. I'm worried about Tyree's status, his health. But, yeah, I'm going to go with the Cowboys in this one.
It's Miami's chance.
It really is.
Off, if they don't pull this one off, I'm off the Miami train. I know they're running away with the division a little bit, but if they lose this one, I'm off the Miami train. Seeing what James Cook did to the Dallas Cowboy defense, Dolphins got two good running backs in Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert. So yep. if they can control time of possession, Tyreek Hill may not necessarily be that big of a factor. I'm gonna take Miami. Kev is gonna go Miami as well. Kev, riding with Miami. All right, we got 8:15 Sunday night. New England Patriots at Denver Broncos. A little primetime action for you, buddy.
You see how bad they made this, though? They put it on NFL Network. They even put this on NBC. That is terrible. Holy crap, really?
I think there's some Christmas thing probably on NBC. That's why.
That's probably why. And that's probably why they regulate this game to NFL. Oh, okay. Makes sense now. That's right, Christmas Eve. Broncos, dude. I mean, they lose to the Patriots, man. Just pack it up, get in a drive, and draft somebody on the defense side of the ball. But they should beat the Pats. They should. And I think they will.
Yeah, I'm going Denver. I don't have any faith in the Patriots at this point. They need to just pack it in and get ready for next year, figure out who their coach is going to be, whatever they got going on. But it's Denver's game to lose. So I'm going Broncos, and Kev is going Broncos.
And let's ride. Sunday. That's right. Game scared me a little bit. Don't.
Three
don't
Monday games. Look at this little Christmas fun.
Jesus Christ. Three? Little
Christmas fun.
Trying to rival NBA.
That's it.
NBA's got six.
A lot of good sports to watch on Christmas.
Competition, man.
Let's go.
Well, I got two screens set up, and I got to go to work and open up anyway, so I'll miss some of this stuff.
1 p.m., fun. Las Vegas Raiders at Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs win. Chiefs to get a win here.
Can we have a Christmas miracle?
Oh, you feeling froggy?
Raiders are playing okay. No, fuck it. I'm gonna take the Raiders. I'll be different. Mm-hmm. I'll be different. Mm-hmm. Kev's going Chiefs. Mm-hmm. All right. 4:30. Giants at Eagles.
All right, I'm going to announce my pick. You announce Kevin P, and I'll let you dissect this one here. Eagles bounce back. Eagles bounce back in the Giants.
Kev's taking Eagles.
What you feeling, Paul? Robin Squad, bro.
I'm taking the Giants, bro. Let's just play spoilers.
Let's go.
I'm one out of two. Eagles defense is struggling right now. We got a little bit of a scrambling quarterback. We got – hopefully Saquon Barkley shows up. It's fucking Christmas, man. You know what I mean? What's up, bro? It's fucking Christmas. Feeling
froggy elite,
Philly,
bro.
Philly hates Santa Claus. Like, the fuck? What are we doing? I'm taking the Giants. Giants by a field goal. Let's go.
Nice.
All right. And then the late game. Baltimore Ravens at 49ers.
ESPN get this game? What a game.
Yeah, that's a game.
Whew. It'll be a worth watching both of these games.
About to see how good both these teams are.
Holy crap, this is a game. Would I be crazy to say this is probably a Super Bowl preview?
Could be. There are people online saying that the colors of the Super Bowl logo are the Ravens and the Niners.
Mm.
It's in the script, bro. It's in the script.
It's in the script. All right. Lamar Jackson and the Ravens go on the road. Get a big one.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. I mean, they were your Super Bowl pick. I get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Niners are fucking rolling right now. I'm going.
Oh, they're dangerous. Absolutely.
I'm going Niners. That defense, that offense. I'm going Niners all day. I don't even think it'll be close. I think Niners win by 2 scores.
Ooh.
And then Kev is also taking the Niners.
Good stuff. All right. Good stuff on the picks there, Mr. Matt. And let's move on and let's not do the top five teams this week. Let's just move on because
there ain't five, bro. We can skip it. It's fine. There ain't five.
Yeah, we can skip it. All right, so the NBA. Buddy.
Talk your shit. Go ahead.
Well, before I round my mouth about my magic, let's talk about some of your all-star voting. It starts today. And I want to know, Paul, who's your all-stars, bro? Like, you already been going to some – you ain't got to give me – I got five in the West, five in the East. Obviously, you can just give me your top few that you think that are definitely all-stars right now, and it can change. But I got my top five in the East, and I got my top five in the West. But if you don't have yours, just give me a few, and then I dissect through mine.
So. Yeah, I'll give you a few. Obviously, I think this is a year where we could potentially see Tyrese Halliburton be a starter in the All-Star game. And I think a lot of that was because of the in-season tournament, as much as Kevin may have hated it. Mm-hmm. It gave a guy like him a lot of spotlight, and a lot of people got to watch him play. Obviously, Giannis, dude, just scored like 60 something points the other day. Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey, that guy's playing good for the 76ers. And Paolo for the Magic, I think he's having he started off a little slow, but the last week or so, that man's been putting it into high gear. And then Boston was that four or five in the East? Because I would also throw Jason Tatum in there too. Because Boston's rolling.
That makes it five, yeah.
And then for the West, Anthony Edwards, Jokic, Luka. LeBron's gonna make it because he's LeBron. And I mean, you could probably throw Anthony Davis in there too if he stays healthy or not. But
yeah,
so I'm gonna go.
No, so I just did my top five, and of course, it's gonna change on a weekly basis. Just let you know, guys, know that December 25th is when you vote for NBA All Stars. It counts as triple. So anybody that want to vote for your All Stars, do that on December 25th. They count as three. My East, I got Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, Paolo Banchero, Tyrese Halliburton, and Jalen Brunson is my five. I know I miss Giannis, but a lot of us didn't really think about the Pacers being where they are and the Magic where they are right now. And Jalen Brunson, man, the dude just dropped 50 points a couple of games ago. Just helped them beat the Lakers on the road just last night. Knicks are playing well too. So shout out to them. But the way I voted, today I voted just all Magic players. I'm just trying to make a point with small market, but unbiased is what I have for the East. The West, Anthony Davis, of course, during that end season tournament game, he had a hell of a showing. Jokic is a beast. Doncic, Anthony Edwards, and De'Aaron Fox should get a start out here. This Kings are looking very well too. This seemed like last year wasn't a fluke for them. They're still competing, being the top four seed in the West and winning really good games. He came back from an injury, and he was the factor of why they was losing some of these games beforehand. But props to them. But nah, NBA All-Star voting is starting this week. Make sure you vote for your stars. Show love to the small markets. Some of these guys are really playing hard. I feel like we've seen a shift in some of the talent gaps here, and it's been fun to watch. So before we close it out, I'm going to talk about my Magic Talk. They're stretching December. So far, man, they're 4-3 in December. This schedule in December is insane, man. First of all, let's give props to Boston. Boston is probably the best team in the East. They're the best home team in the NBA because they beat us by 17 twice in the back-to-back. I think they heard all this hoopla about the Magic really kind of having their number the last season or so, and they took care of business. And a lot of fans felt a certain type of way because Jaylen Brown had made a comment about, oh, we took him seriously and stuff like that. Well, it caused some of my Magic fans. Like, this is what we want, right? You want respect in the NBA. These players are taking you seriously, right? This is not an easy game for you no more, so they stepping up. And Boston beat the crap out of us. They sent a message. So don't feel slighted because Jaylen Brown say that. Hey, listen, they realize when Orlando Magic comes to town, tie up your shoes, play ball. They got some young athletes. They got some people off the bench. Be ready to play the Orlando Magic. This is where we're at now. This is a good ball club. They've been taken seriously. But I pause on that because December is a brutal month. We have the Heat, which now I just find out Jimmy Butler's not playing, so that just sucks. Jimmy Butler's not playing against the game tomorrow, so I'll be going to watch Jimmy Butler and all the Heat fans. And I think Bam is now on the injury report. But imagine get Wendell Carter Jr. back, which will help. Goga's been holding down the spot fantastically. Shout out to him. You know, he's been dealing with a fracture finger. Markelle Fultz was set to come back here soon, but I guess he had a little setback with knee tendonitis. That stuff is unpredictable, so it's going to take its time. Well, you know, we got enough depth to kind of last over. But we got the Heat and the Bucks. The Bucks, who well, I just saw before I got on the podcast, Paul, Their last four games, they're averaging above 120 points at home. So Orlando be ready to play against them because now at home the Bucks are dangerous, and if you come slacking, we may lose by double digits again like we did against Boston. Got the Pacers, the Wizards, 76ers, and the back-to-back. We got the Knicks, who's playing good ball, very good defensive team, and the Suns to close out December, before we go on a three-game road trip that include the Warriors and the Kings and somebody else. This is a tough schedule. This is a tough stretch for the Magic. After that, it gets relatively easy. But if Orlando can go at least 7-7 for this month, or at least 6-8, 5-9, I'm considering that a success because this schedule is insane, bro. You got the Suns, Bradley Beal. I know he sprained his ankle. He may be back in time, depending on how that treatment works. 76ers, I know they scheduled been easy. It's feel like they've been playing the Pistons and the Wizards like freaking 8 times, 9 times already because Joel Embiid is going off. But at the end of the day, you play this on your schedule. So it is what it is. Shout out to Jalen Suggs, though. You know, I was not a believer in him at some point in time. Dude's having 12 points a game, 2 assists a game. Really, it's a ball hawk, getting about almost nearly 2 steals a game. And his three-point shooting has really come around. 38% for the year on 4 attempts. That's solid, man. He just got to stay consistent and healthy. This dude made a jump and tried to make a block in the Boston game, lay on his wrist. Man, I thought he fractured that thing. I'm like, man, this dude play like a football. Jalen Suggs play like a football player, though. I mean, that's
his he does.
He was an all-state quarterback. And
he's a dog.
He's a dog, man, but I rear it in, man. You just got to stay healthy. But, nah, man, shout out to these guys. I'm excited to see what the home stretch. I'm going to the Heat game tomorrow. I'm going to watch them play the Sixers, and I'm going to watch them play the Knicks, too. So that one should be it should be a fun time, man. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen here. And keep it rolling, man. I feel like this is a fun ball club, but this is a brutal stretch that they really got to not lose. They can't lose most of these games, man. They got to win some to kind of keep headway because Philly's coming. Philly already done passed us. Bucks coming. Knicks on our ass. So you just got to keep playing ball, bro. Just got to keep playing ball.
Keep playing ball, baby.
Absolutely. Paul, you got anything else to add, man?
No, man. I'm excited for minutes, man. I'm excited for a sports filled Christmas break. So
absolutely, man. What I hope that you got everything on your Christmas. I hope you got your Christmas shopping done. At least get your Christmas shopping
done. It's done. We're doing it last week, bro. It's done. It's done.
Bet, man. Only thing I didn't get, man, and this is just my, I can tell what it is, my gift. Shout out to Walmart, my employer. Shout out to them. Went to Walmart.com, went on this, this touchless trash can and ordered it from this third party vendor. Ordered it back when it was a Cyber Monday special. And they just like, it's just been sitting there at FedEx warehouse just for 3 weeks. Got no update I'm being very patient, more than I should have. Finally, hey, can I cancel this order and just reorder another trash can? I see I got one in Walmart. Like, well, you know, we're sorry for the inconvenience. On top of that, because you got this on a Saturday, Monday, we can give you a $15 credit to use to get you a trash can. I said, I ain't God great.
You're gonna fuck around and get Mitch Trubisky in the mail.
I knew something was coming, but now, nah, man, I got my Christmas shopping done. I got a, my brother, he's a Christmas baby, so he turns 29 on Christmas, so I'm gonna give him a bottle of tequila. He drink Patron. I'm gonna give him $1,500, man. Nah, I'm gonna buy you a nice bottle, bro. So, but that's the only thing I gotta get left. Hope you don't watch this, but whatever. You know, I'm gonna give him alcohol every year, so he can watch the podcast and see this. So. All right. Well, hey, that wraps it up for us. We're going to go ahead and close it. I'd like to say, make sure you stay tuned for me and Kevin during the week. You can follow the podcast at BLC Podcast. You can find me at N-CP, Mr. Mac.
Follow me on X at @D_Paul_Mac and on Instagram at @DPaulMac520.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can go on Spotify. The link is anchor.fm/Cortez-Paul. You can go to our Facebook. At Balls Not Court Podcast there. Give us a like, give us a shout. You got our on the little tag at the bottom, you got our BLC Podcast for our YouTube, BLC Podcast for our Twitter handle, BLC Podcast for our Instagram handle, BLC Podcast for our TikTok channel. We're everywhere, man. So no excuse. I always try to make sure I upload snippets, pick up best parts of the show, load them up. We're also on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Speaker, Windows, Anchor, Spotify, and as Paul had to say,
wherever you get your podcasts, we're in there.
Perfect. Guys, once again, thanks for listening. You'll definitely see us next week, and we'd like to wish you guys and to you all and happy holidays, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, whatever you may celebrate, we support all. And we definitely encourage you to enjoy it with the people that you love. And we
hope your Christmas doesn't stink.
Exactly. So thank you for taking the time to listen to us. If it may be 30 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour, me and Paul and everybody that's been contributing to the show is very appreciative. And let's get safe until, you know, the New Year's. And bless up, man. Thank you guys for listening, and take care. Merry Christmas, guys.